So the beginning of our New Testament, as you know, it's got four gospels in it that recount for us the events and the ministry and the teaching and the life of Jesus. And three of them talk about his birth. Matthew and Luke, they talk about the historical events surrounding the birth of Jesus, just the actual details, what happened from different perspectives, highlighting different moments. Mark, the shortest gospel, if you ever wondered where to start in your Bible, he was not interested in the birth narrative. He just didn't have time for that. And so his gospel starts and Jesus is already in his 30s. It's like a magic trick. And then John is unique. The gospel of John is the most unique of the four gospels. And his birth narrative of Jesus doesn't talk about the historical events around his birth. He talks about the significance of his birth. And I want to look at John and Matthew. And I want to read really quickly Matthew's account, the historical events of the birth of Jesus. And if you've grown up in church, you've heard this. Even if you haven't grown up in church, this might be your first time in church or the first time in a long time. And you've probably heard snippets of the story. But the historical events surrounding the birth of Jesus, Matthew writes, chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place, verse 22, to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Matthew, the historical events, but kind of the key moment where he talks about the fulfillment of a prophecy. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, this wasn't Emmanuel. He was never called Emmanuel, but the prophecy was all about who Jesus would be and what he came to do, God with us. The birth of Jesus, God taking on flesh, God with a bod, okay? Literally, Emmanuel wasn't like a symbolic, oh, this means God is with us, he sees me. It was quite literally God taking on flesh. And this right here, Emmanuel, God with us, is God interacting with us and with creation in a way like he never had before. This right here, God with us, the birth of Jesus, it marked a brand new beginning for how God would now interact with his creation. A new beginning for how God would interact with all people. Matthew makes clear that the birth of Jesus is God with us. But John wants to show us what this means for us. And so for a few moments, I wanna jump in and I wanna look at John's account of the birth of Jesus. But before we do so, a little bit of context is helpful. Because just like every story, beginnings matter. Backstory matters. And if you've ever jumped into a movie or a book or a TV show in the middle and you start annoyingly asking people questions that you would not have questions about if you knew the beginning or the backstory, that before we jump into the Gospel of John, where he tells us what God with us means for us, I want to go all the way back to the beginning, the Genesis beginning, in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. The very first verse, the very first words in our scriptures, in the beginning before there was anything, in the beginning before there was the world or the universe as we know it, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There was nothing. And then God created something. God, who has always existed, created the world and the universe as we know it. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. That the earth was formless, it lacked purpose and shape. It was empty, it lacked any fullness, and darkness was hovering. That earth was lifeless, and into that formless body of matter, into the void that didn't have any kind of life, into the emptiness, and into the darkness that figuratively and literally covered the earth, God spoke these four powerful words. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Imagine this moment that up to this point, light did not exist in creation. And God spoke it, and light burst through the darkness. And for the first time, light is born. God speaks, "Let there be light." And light cuts through the darkness and illuminates the darkness. And with four words, God breathed light that led to new life. With these four words, a new beginning. With these four words, new life that was now possible. That into the formless, into the void, into the darkness, into the lifeless, God spoke light into existence. God spoke light that served as the necessary foundation for life into existence. And life as we know it was born from that moment on. Light had shown itself in a way like never before, brought about by the very words of God. And since that moment in Genesis chapter 1, light became inseparably linked to the very presence and the very activity of God. That throughout the scriptures, light is inseparably linked to the presence and the activity of God, to his goodness, to life, to his guidance, and darkness the complete antithesis to the presence and the activity of God. Where light, there is life. Where darkness, there is death. And what we celebrate on Christmas, God with us, is this moment right here. God's presence and God's activity. God's presence and his movement towards humanity. God's presence with us and his activity in the world. The coming of Jesus, our Savior, God's final King, born of flesh. A historical event that Matthew documents for us, but then John. And the backstory of Genesis is important because when John penned his gospel, when John sat down to think about what God with us means for us, he actually had Genesis chapter 1 in the back of his mind. John chapter 1, John whom walked with Jesus, John who in his gospel refers to himself as the one that Jesus loved, who spent intimate time with him as he's recounting, how do I talk about the significance of God with us, the opening lines of his gospel. John says, in the beginning. Not the beginning of the birth of Jesus, not the beginning of like that moment in Nazareth or Bethlehem or when Caesar Augustus did the census. No, in the very beginning of creation, the Genesis beginning, in that beginning, John writes, was the Word. In the beginning, before there was anything, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. This word, the word here, the Greek word for word is logos. He's talking about the logos of God, and the word here is Jesus. The Greek word for logos, it means actually a lot of different things. There's a lot of Greek context, a lot of historical Jewish context. There's actually a lot of debate amongst scholars around exactly why John used this logos. We're left to speculate unless somebody can figure out a way to ask him, okay? And so we're trying to... Yeah, but most often, that word logos is translated as outward expression or speech or message. And so the reason that in your New Testaments, the word logos is translated as the word and why it is Jesus is because just as somebody reveals who they are by their words, God revealed who he was through the coming of Jesus. That Jesus came to reveal what God was like. And Jesus came with a message that would be good news, that would cause great joy for all people. John says that word, that Jesus, he was there in the beginning. He was with God. In fact, he says that word, Jesus, he is God. And he goes on, he was with God in the beginning. And now he even talks about Jesus's role in creation. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. That when God first spoke, let there be light, that it was through Jesus that light was created. All that we see, he was the creative agent of the Father. And this is really important. Okay, I'm going to connect the dots in a minute, but this is important. What John is telling us, the birth of Jesus was not the beginning of Jesus. What? Okay? The birth of Jesus was not when Jesus first came into existence. Jesus is the preeminent one. He has always existed. His birth was the first time he took on flesh, but he always has been God. He was in the beginning with the Father. And as the Spirit of God was hovering over the deep, Jesus has always existed. Why is John doing this? Because John wants to make crystal clear that this was no ordinary birth. That this was no just ordinary historical figure. This was an eternal figure that came down, stooped down, and took on flesh. Jesus couldn't fully reveal who God was like if he wasn't fully God himself. John wants us to know of his status above all of creation, of his supreme nature, that Jesus was God himself. And then, verse 4, he gets into what God with us means for us. In him, and you can see Genesis, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And the light shines in the darkness. The light pierces through the darkness, and the darkness has not nor will ever overcome it. In Genesis chapter 1, God's word speaks, let there be light, and light cuts through the darkness. In John chapter 1, the logos of God, the word of God, Jesus in the flesh cuts through the darkness and illuminates and dispels the darkness. And in him was the light, which was the life of all mankind. John goes and tells us a few verses later that the word, Jesus himself, became flesh and he made his dwelling among us. That in Genesis chapter 1, light is the necessary foundation of life. And here in John chapter 1, he's saying this light, this new creation, Jesus taking on flesh, coming for you and for me, is also the necessary foundation of life for you and for me. And in the birth of Jesus. In the birth of Jesus, we have God proclaiming to the world yet again, let there be light. That the birth of Jesus was God proclaiming to all people, let there be light. That in the birth and the coming of Jesus, we have God proclaiming to you and to your family, let there be light, proclaiming over you and over your family and to your neighbors, let there be light. Light that is necessary to life was in both beginnings. And Jesus was there and behind both. So as light points to the presence and the activity of God, we have in the Christmas story the climax of God's presence and activity seen in the presence and in the work of Jesus, who came down, stooped down from the skybox of heaven and took on the limiting flesh in order to come close, in order to save you and in order to save us. me. And Jesus, who calls himself the light of the world, dispels the darkness, and his light is new grace for you. His light is new hope for you. His light is new peace for you. His light is life for you. From the very beginning, God has been in the business of illuminating the darkness. From the very beginning, he was going to put darkness in its place. From the very beginning, there was not a conceivable universe where light would be overcome by the darkness. And in the birth of Jesus, we have the coming of the light of the world, who came in order to be the light of your world. Who came to let there be light in your life. Who came to let there be light in your circumstances. Who came to let there be light in your story. Who came to be let there be light in whatever darkness you might be walking through. This is the earth before light was born, was formless and void of any life, was purposeless, had no shape, and darkness hovered over. So is your life and mine without the light of life that is Jesus. And into that purposelessness, Jesus says, I'm going to give you purpose. Into that hopelessness, Jesus says, I'm gonna be hope for you. Into that darkness, Jesus says, I'm going to be light for you. Into that difficulty, Jesus says, I'm going to give you a peace and a joy that is unshakable. The light of the world came to be the light of your world. And the birth of Jesus is proclaiming over your life, let there be light. And this Savior promised that whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. He promises the darkness will never overcome the light. Even on this side of heaven when it feels like it might. Because Jesus never promised life to be easy. In fact, he promised that in this world you will have trouble. In this world, darkness will seem like it's closing in moments. But Jesus promises to win in the end. Just like when he died and he's in the grave, he's in the tomb, and it looked like darkness had won. And then 3 days later, new life, resurrection, putting darkness and death in its place. And that light of the world invites you to surrender. That light of the world invites you to follow. That light of the world wants to speak light and hope into your life. Whatever that looks like for you, it might be you need the reminder of the hope as yours that is available. It might be remembering what Jesus came to do in the midst of a hectic season for you. For some of you who have never placed your faith in Jesus before. Maybe it's for the first time stepping into the light, out of the darkness, for a Savior that died for your sin to set you free, to give you a full life. Because his light is the light of all mankind. My prayer for you is that you would see the light of the world for who he really is. God with us, God with you, God for you. God sees you and wants to proclaim over your life, and he made it crystal clear by sending Jesus. Let there be light. Let there be hope. Let there be purpose. Let there be peace. Let there be life. He's worth following. He's worth giving everything to. Emmanuel, God with us. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that in our mess, you came close. Thank you that in the darkness, you chose to shine through. And thank you, since the very beginning, your plan was to bring the light of life close so that our lives might be forever changed. I pray, Lord, that you would illuminate the goodness of your Son to us today. That in the darkness, we can hold on to the light that is hope. To the light that is peace. To the light that is love. And may his light guide us as we follow as close as we can and as best as we can. Thank you that you'd be willing to stoop down to send your Son to be as close as you were and to send his Spirit to reside in our hearts. Give us the courage to do what we need to do with what we've just heard. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, the King of all kings. Amen.